This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Aisha, Mother of the Believers. With me, Fatima Barakatullah. Last time we began talking about the verses of hijab and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses for all the Muslim women about how they should dress in public in terms of, you know, in front of non-mahrams and in the public space. And so we know that the rules of hijab for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were stricter than they were for the general Muslim women. They used to leave the house in the evenings, for example, in order to avoid being recognized. And although they were covering themselves with the, you know, their heads were covered and their entire bodies were covered, Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu felt that there should be a greater level of covering and protection for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, he felt that they should not go out unless there was a need. Okay, and this was because of the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that there were all sorts of men, you know, good and bad, who could potentially see them and interact with them. Aisha radhiyallahu anha tells us that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go out at night to a certain place because in those days, you know, they didn't have toilets in the houses, right? They used to consider that to be a negative thing. And, you know, it's like even in some rural places today, right? They would go out to the desert to certain places in privacy where they could relieve themselves. So Aisha tells us that the wives of the Prophet used to go out at night for that purpose. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let your wives be veiled, let them be veiled. Now, some of the scholars say what he meant was that let them, you know, cover their faces, okay? And others said, let them be behind a curtain, you know, let them not be out in public in such a way that they can be recognized. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do that. He didn't insist that, you know, that they don't go out. Then one night, Sauda bint Zama, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she went out at Isha time, and you know, she was a tall woman. Umar radiallahu anhu recognized her and he said, we've recognized you, O Sauda. And he did that, it seems, to maybe just to show that, you know, it's very easy to recognize the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in public. And he was hoping that the hijab would be revealed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of hijab. And he also revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the wives of the Prophet could go out for their needs. You know, when it came to their needs, it was perfectly fine for them to go out. But there was a higher level of hijab for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another incident that happened is when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Zainab bint Jahsh in Medina. He invited people to a walima meal into his house. And he sat down, and some men sat in his house as well. And Zainab, the scholars say, she sat with her face to the wall, you know. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that the men would leave soon, but they continued to stay, and they were still chatting and talking. And Zainab radhiyallahu anha was sitting facing the wall. So in other words, she was not comfortable, right? When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized they're not leaving. He just went out. He went to do some things. And then he came back with Anas. And eventually he saw, okay, that the men had left. And then he drew a curtain between Anas and himself and his wife, right? And the verses of hijab were revealed. This is a narration in Bukhari and Muslim. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 53, he revealed that, O you who believe, enter not the prophet's houses unless permission is given to you for a meal, and then not so early as to wait for its preparation, but only when you are invited. Enter, and when you have taken your meal, disperse without sitting for long talks. Verily, such behavior annoys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is shy of asking you to go. But Allah is not shy of telling you the truth. And when you ask his wives for anything, ask them from behind a screen, a curtain. That is purer for your hearts and for their hearts. And it is not right for you that you should annoy Allah's messenger, nor that you should ever marry his wives after him. Verily, with Allah, that would be an enormity. Okay, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 53. So from this verse and other verses, okay, we find that there were special rules when it came to the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. And, you know, sometimes the Prophet ﷺ was not, he didn't want to upset people, or he didn't want to say to people that, you know, that they were inconveniencing him. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses telling the Muslims to, yani, be a bit more sensitive, you know, and not kind of appear at the Prophet's house and spend too much time there, and, you know, to the point that he feels shy because you're his guest, you know, he doesn't want to tell you to leave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses telling the believers to, you know, be sensitive of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's needs. And he also revealed verses for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah number 33, in which he told them that there were special rules just for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O wives of the Prophet, you are not like anyone among women. You're not like the other women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech when you're speaking to men, lest he in whose heart is a disease should covet, but speak with appropriate speech, and abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves, as was the practice of the former days of ignorance, and establish the prayer, and give the zakah, and obey Allah and his messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification. And remember what is recited in your houses of the verses of Allah and wisdom, the Quran and the Sunnah, right? Indeed, Allah is ever subtle and acquainted with all things. These verses were very important to our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha, especially later on, as we will see. And she really took them to heart. Some of the special rules for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including our mother Aisha, were the following. Non-mahrams could only speak to the wives of the Prophet from behind a curtain. So when they came, for example, and, you know, especially later on, when they came to seek knowledge, when they came to ask about some matter or some hadith, or even if they were just visiting to give something or to ask a question, they wouldn't come in their physical presence. Even if the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were wearing, you know, their jilbab, their khimar, etc., there was also an added layer. There was a curtain or a physical screen between them and non-mahram men. And this was a special rule just for the wives of the Prophet. So they had this extra level of covering. They also covered their entire bodies, including their faces and hands, in public. And this is clear from many ahadith. When they traveled, they used to be inside a hawdaj. So hawdaj is like a seat with a canopy around it, like a tent, almost like a little tent that is put onto the back of a camel. Okay, it's like a tent-like structure. And so it's like an extra level of covering again. And the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were traveling, they would be inside that structure. Or it's like a little box, you know, that people can carry on their shoulders, lift it up and hoist it onto a camel. Also, no one was allowed to marry the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death. So that was also another rule that was specific to the wives of the Prophet. If the wives of the Prophet were ever to commit a sin, then that would be regarded as graver than the sin of an average person, right? And conversely, if they did a good deed, then that would also attract greater reward. So you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not only giving them a status and giving them the opportunity for greater reward, but He also was holding them to a higher standard. After the verses of hijab were revealed, our mother Aisha was even more careful than she had been previously. She would only go out for her needs and necessities. After the break, we will return and we will look at some other verses that were revealed due to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and they were the verses of tayammum. I'll see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome back after the break. We were talking about some verses that were revealed due to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. We're going to turn our attention to one key ruling, or rukhsa, that was granted to us as believers. You know, it's like something that was made easier for us due to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And that was the revelation of tayammum, the dry ablution. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going on a journey, he would draw lots in order to decide which of his wives would accompany him on the journey. During the journey for the battle of Banu al-Mustaliq, it was Aisha radiallahu anha's turn. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she really loved to beautify herself for her husband, the Messenger of Allah. And sometimes she would borrow from her sister Asma an onyx necklace. So she had this necklace with her on this journey. And she would, as well, as we mentioned previously, travel in a hawdaj. It's like a little box in which she would be able to sit on top of a camel, and it would be completely covered, right? Our mother Aisha narrates the incident to us in Sahih al-Bukhari through her nephew Urwa bin Zubayr. She says, "We went out with Allah's messenger on one of his journeys till we reached al-Bayda, or Dhatul Jaysh, where my necklace got broken and lost. Allah's messenger stopped to search for it, and the people too stopped with him." So basically the entire caravan had to stop, right, in order to look for the necklace of Aisha radiallahu anha. And that's because, you know, she had borrowed that necklace. So it's very something that she wanted to return to the person who she borrowed it from. And she says there was no water at that place, and they had no water with them. They'd run out of water. So people began to go to Abu Bakr, who is, of course, Aisha's father, and said, "Don't you see what Aisha has done? She's made Allah's messenger and the people stop where there's no water, and we have no water with us. Abu Bakr came while Allah's messenger was sleeping with his head on Aisha's lap. Okay, and she says that Abu Bakr came in and he said, look what you've done. You've detained Allah's messenger and the people where there is no water, and they have no water to make wudu, right? He then admonished Aisha radhiyallahu anha, and he pinched her, actually. And she said that even though he pinched her on her legs, she didn't want to move because the head of Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was on her lap. He was resting. And Allah's messenger continued sleeping until he got up in the morning and he found no water. And Aisha says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of tayammum. And people began to perform tayammum, the dry ablution. And one of the Sahaba, Usayd bin al-Hudayr, he said, O family of Abu Bakr, this is not the first blessing of yours. So you see, initially people were blaming Aisha and saying, you know, because of her, there's no water and what are we going to do? And but actually, it was a blessing. It ended up being a blessing because from that mashaqqa, from that difficulty came the taysir, the ease, right, of tayammum. And tayammum is the dry ablution, right? It's when we don't have water, or when a person is very ill and they can't use water, then Muslims, wherever they are in the world, can use any kind of earth material, right? Whether it's sand, whether it's soil, whether it's rock, dust from rock, chalk even, right? To rub it on their hands and their faces. And that constitutes a kind of substitute, right, for wudu and for ghusl as well, for the full body ablution, for the full body ritual purification, as well as for ablution, which is when we prepare for the prayer. And then Aisha radhiyallahu anha says, we urged the camel on which I was sitting to get up from its place. And lo and behold, the necklace was found underneath it, right? So subhanAllah, they found the necklace in the end. So you see, due to our mother Aisha, this rukhsa of tayammum was revealed. And the verse of tayammum that I'm talking about is in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 43. It's the second part of the verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and if you are ill or on a journey, or one of you comes after answering the call of nature, or you've been in contact with women, in other words, had sexual relations, and you find no water, perform tayammum with clean earth and rub with it your faces and hands. Truly, Allah is ever oft pardoning, oft forgiving. We find that the life of our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also a love story. Yes, even though the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a statesman, he was a guide, he was our spiritual leader and the Messenger of Allah, and was very busy with the affairs of the Ummah, he taught his companions to have balance in their lives. Abdullah bin Amr reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, I am told you fast and never break your fast, and you never stop praying at night. And he advised him, fast and break your fast, pray at night and sleep. Verily, your eyes have rights over you. Your own self has a right over you, meaning you have your body, right? And your family has a right over you. SubhanAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always emphasizing balance. You know, don't fast all the time, every single day. Have days when you're not fasting so that you can enjoy time with your family, right? And you can be in a normal state. Don't pray all night, every single night, because your family needs time with you at night as well, right? The scholar Ibn Kathir said, it was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live in a beautiful manner with his wives, being cheerful and kind to them, generously spending on them and laughing with them. So from his interactions with Aisha and the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha told us about those wonderful interactions, Muslim men and women can learn about how they can have a good marriage, right? How we can interact and what the norm is for a Muslim couple. Some of the narrations that we can mention that really tell us about the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his relationship with Aisha are as follows. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared about Aisha's well-being, her entertainment even, and he allowed her to have fun and be entertained. Aisha reported that Abu Bakr, her father, came to her on the day of Eid while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with her. And there were two girls singing songs of the Ansar on the day of Bu'ath. Abu Bakr said twice, so Abu Bakr, you know, he saw that there were these girls singing on Eid, and he thought this was inappropriate. And he made a comment. He said, these are the musical instruments of shaitan. Okay. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave them, Abu Bakr. Verily, every community has a celebration. And this day is our celebration, right? So he saw that Aisha enjoyed hearing the girls singing. And there's nothing wrong with singing. And so he told Abu Bakr that, you know, this is a special day. We let there be singing on this day. And so in that, he showed us that, you know, there isn't this kind of austere harshness, you know, in our religion. Aisha also reports, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed my chin on his shoulder so I could watch the Abyssinians playing in the mosque, right? So there were some Abyssinians who'd come and they were doing some kind of display in the masjid, you know, using different weapons. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted Aisha to be able to see this as well. And so he allowed her to lean on him and look through the curtain at what the Abyssinians were doing. And she said, he allowed me to do this until I felt tired and turned away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked, verily, I have been sent with a truthful, lenient religion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even raced with Aisha, we know, right? She was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a journey, and she said, I raced him on foot and I outran him. But then later when I gained some weight, I raced him again and he outran me. And the Prophet said, this one is for that one, right? So in other words, he got her back. So we see from this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very playful, a very loving husband. And from that, we can also learn that, you know, the interaction between a husband and a wife should be playful, should be something that is lighthearted, you know, and they should enjoy their time together and do fun things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also cared very much about Aisha radhiyallahu anha's feelings. In one incident, you know, a Persian neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to invite him to dinner. And this was the day when he was with Aisha radhiyallahu anha. It was one of Aisha's days, right? Because he divided his days between his wives, right? And he had made some special food, Persian food. And the Prophet said, and my wife Aisha, in other words, is my wife Aisha also invited? And the man who had come, he was like a servant for the Persian man, he said, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declined the invitation. The man returned another time, the servant returned another time, and he said, you know, he told him that he had been invited to dinner. And again, the Prophet said, "And what about my wife Aisha?" And the man said, "No." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No." Then the third time the man returned, he realized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted Aisha to also be invited. Otherwise, he didn't want to leave her alone. And so when the Prophet asked, "And my wife Aisha?" the man said, "Yes," the third time. And so the two of them left together and they went to eat at the Persian neighbor's house. And Imam An-Nawawi, when he talks about this incident, he says the Prophet disliked attending a special meal without her, for he says this is amongst the beautiful aspects of married life, you know, being able to spend time together and eat together. The rites of companionship and the emphasized manners of gathering. So we see that he was always careful and caring about Aisha radhiyallahu anha's feelings. And that's what really characterized their marriage, a marriage full of love, a marriage of playfulness and positivity, but also a marriage where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very much a mentor for our mother Aisha. Inshallah, with that, we've come to the end of this episode. And so until next time, I'll bid you farewell. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.